All right. Thank you very much. Like she said, my name is Monica Wendell. I am currently at the University of Louisville School of Public Health and Information Sciences. Previously, I just started there in June. Previously, I was at Texas A&M University and directed the Center for Community Health Development at the School of Public Health there. And what I'm going to be talking about today is a project that we worked on while I was still in Texas. You can see my co-authors, which I think some of them were going to be in the room, but I can't see any of them, which means that they probably had a hard time finding the room like I did if y'all trekked all over the convention center looking for the R rooms like I did. I don't have any relationships to disclose. I was in a session before this, and the young man that was presenting said, "I don't have any relationships to disclose, but I hope to someday." So today, what I'm going to be talking about, which is maybe a little bit peripheral to the overarching theme of this session, but I think it ties in, looking at how communities engage in population health and integrated health systems more broadly defined, not necessarily into the service piece of it, but community sectors integrating to be able to focus on population health improvement. And the question that we asked ourselves over and over as we worked with our partner communities is, what is it about those communities that are successful that helps them be successful? So you look at communities that are taking sometimes very similar strategies and using those strategies to address, you know, whatever issue comes up, a lot of the same issues across communities, right? And what is it about some communities that makes them successful in addressing their issues while other communities just struggle with the same issues over and over and over and don't ever seem to make any headway? Anybody else ever have kind of a similar question, like, why can't this community make progress? And that's really the question that we were asking. And so and I'll get into some of the history and the context, because the point of my presentation isn't to talk about community capacity in and of itself so much, but just to give you a little bit of background. And so really, operationally, community capacity, the way that we conceptualize it, is the characteristics and the resources and the behavior patterns in a community that they can bring to bear to help address their local issues. And that capacity can be manifested. They can actually mobilize it and use it, and it can also be latent. It can be existing in the community, but maybe they haven't tapped into it yet. And so looking at those characteristics, then one of the things that is important to keep in mind, and was important for us to keep in mind in answering our question, was that community capacity is an emergent property. It's something that doesn't exist at the individual level. Individual capacity exists at an individual level. Organizational capacity exists at an organizational level, but community capacity really has to be conceptualized, operationalized, and measured at the community level. That makes it a lot harder because we're not talking about individual people. We know that community capacity is important. We know that it relates to communities being successful, but we don't know how it works. And that has been the thing that has been driving my team crazy for years, is how does it work? How can we cultivate the aspects of it that are the most important? And that's really what we're going to get at. So if you're not familiar with the community capacity literature, here's kind of the rundown on the generally kind of discussed categories of dimensions of community capacity. So if you break it down to the bits and pieces that seem to be critical within community capacity, these are those things. So skills, knowledge, and resources, social relationships and networks, mechanisms for community dialogue and collective action, so the things that bring people together to talk and to do, the quality of leadership and leadership development, civic participation, community history and values, and then reflexivity and a culture of learning. And so those are some of the things that we'll talk about as we go. So to give you a little bit of background about this project, we called our project PACE. It stood for Physical Activity and Community Engagement. It was one of the core research projects for the Center for Community Health Development, which is one of CDC's prevention research centers across the nation. And it was a project that was working with four rural communities in Texas. These are communities that the Center for Community Health Development had been working with for years. And so there were some longstanding relationships there. There was already trust established. There was already a history of collaboration. And so this wasn't a brand new, hey, let's get together and do a project. And that context is important because there's a lot of insight, I think, that we were able to have in our observations looking at what happened as they engaged in the project. Those four rural communities came together to establish a regional partnership among them. And it was comprised of volunteers from each of those four communities and really served to be a regional forum for bringing up issues, doing kind of peer assistance, learning from each other, talking about how different communities were doing different things, how can we kind of collectively do resource development, how can we collectively exert our political voice, and things like that. And so the Center for Community Health Development really was in a technical assistance role for that regional partnership. And like I said, there was a long history of doing community-based participatory research with these four communities. So in 2010, there was a regional community assessment, and one of the things that came out of it, which isn't a surprise to anybody, was the rate of obesity. I don't think there's probably a community represented in the room that hasn't identified the rate of obesity as a pretty significant community issue, right? So that's not a surprise to anybody. In our rural communities, though, looking at different ways to tackle obesity was really the thing that stumped them. They're like, you know, there's billions of dollars being spent on obesity across the nation, and people really aren't making a whole lot of headway. So really, what are we talking about doing, and really, what can we do at the local level that meets our community's needs? And in these rural communities, what they decided to focus on was access to opportunities for recreational physical activity. That in these rural areas, really one of their biggest issues was that there weren't opportunities for recreational physical activity. So if you had a job that required some level of physical activity, if your kids were in school and they had required physical activity, like, that's great. But outside of that, they just didn't have a lot of opportunity for the recreational part. And so that's what collectively all four of these communities decided to focus on. And so they engaged in a community health development approach and focused on two key outcomes. One was increased access to physical activity opportunities, and the other was increased community capacity. And this is where we partnered with them on this project. And so just to give you an idea, and it's funny, I was in a session right before this where somebody from the County Health Rankings project was just talking about the community health improvement planning process, right, that's part of accreditation, and then had a lot more details in it than this, but basically the same idea. And I think that that's true across a lot of people that work in community health improvement, population health improvement, the process of community health development, right? So we start with assessment. We work with communities to help them prioritize what their issues are, identify what resources they have available to them, help with planning, implementation, evaluation, which brings us back to assessment, and it's a cycle. Now, from our perspective, in that community health development process, as we provide technical assistance to communities to go through that cycle, the hypothesis is that they learn, right? That communities as a whole learn how to do that. They develop more skills, they develop more mechanisms for community dialogue and collective action, they gain new histories, you know, new narratives as they learn, and then they become more sophisticated at actually doing that, building their capacity. That's kind of the hypothesis, right? But we go back to the, we don't really know how it works. How does community capacity grow, and how do communities learn? What is it that makes them successful? So we decided to take a multiple comparative case study design for these four communities to see if we could figure out something about how it works. And so we used a lot of evidence. We used mixed methods, but primarily because we're working for rural communities, a lot of it was qualitative, process documentation, archival documents, direct observations, and some participant observations. Like I said, these are communities we've worked with for a long time. And with all of that, and we did have some survey data as well, with all of that, we did independent coding of the data and had fairly high inter-rater reliability. And part of that is because our team had a long history with these communities and a pretty decent background in community health development, so everybody kind of was on the same page as to what we were looking at. In places where there were discrepancies, then everybody discussed, and we resolved those discrepancies in coding. But by and large, there was a lot of agreement in the coding. So what happened is that there were these four rural communities. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what each of them did, and then we'll get to the good stuff. So these four counties, Leon County, these are all rural communities, they decided to focus on families with children. And they figured out that their limitations in a solution were geography. It's a really spread out county, really low population density, cost, because their population didn't have a lot of disposable income, and then facilities. There weren't a lot of facilities for them to build in physical activity opportunities. And their solution they came up with was actually to promote geocaching through an inner-city competition within their county. To their surprise, as it came up, geocaching, actually there were a lot of caches. If you're not familiar with it, it's like a GPS guided treasure hunt. And there were a lot of caches. They have an interstate that runs right through the middle of the county, and there's a lot of caches in their community that nobody knew about. And so teaching people this new sport and getting people engaged in it and giving them an opportunity to have some experience with it by creating this competition then led people to continue to do this after the competition was over. Burleson County's focus was their whole community. And their limitations were competing agendas of different groups in the community, and everybody was kind of working on something different and interests, and then limited leadership capacity. It's one of those communities where there's a really small group of leaders, and they're all involved in everything, so they don't really have a lot of time to spend on any one thing. And their solution, quite frankly, was, can we just count something we already did? And we'll let you interview people that were involved, and you can do your research, and but we already did something, so we're going to count that. And we tried to collect some retrospective data, and in the end decided we couldn't include it in the case study because it wasn't comparable. We really did not have the same level of data that we did. But good for them. They accomplished something. They actually put in a city walking trail, like within a little town. So great job for them. Madison County, their focus was low-income families. They actually have a population center in the county, but their limitations were geography, cost, and facilities, and what they decided to do was to partner with a local community center who had kind of started developing a walking trail, but it wasn't done and nobody was using it, and they wanted to complete the walking trail and then put in kind of low-cost and very durable exercise stations around the walking trail. And there are models of this. I mean, these are all things that they took out of the literature of what people have done. And then Grimes County, their focus ended up being, after some false starts, older adults with limitations looking at transportation, cost, and sustainability. And they ended up offering exercise classes to older adults in senior centers and other places where older adults are congregating. And I say after a couple of false starts, and that will get into the meat of this, which is, what did we find? So defining success for these projects was really at the community level, and it was them achieving the objectives they set out to achieve. So did they implement their activities? Were their activities sustainable, right, not dependent on the university, because we don't have the resources to do that. These were their activities. Was there potential for expansion or replication as they defined it? And did they feel like they achieved what they set out to achieve? Were they happy with that? So as I mentioned, we did a comparative qualitative analysis looking at all of this evidence, and as we got into it and saw what had happened, we actually also did a post hoc analysis looking at how communities dealt with failure when it happened. And I say when it happened because there was no if, right? Failure happens in these communities. And so we were really curious because we thought we saw that there were some pretty clear distinctions about what communities did with failure. Maybe that was something that could inform our question and our struggle with how this works. And so then we did an examination looking at this of necessary and sufficient factors out of those elements of community capacity in each community's success. And here's what we found. We found, so if you go back to that list of dimensions of community capacity, right, there was a positive effect of higher levels of civic participation. That's not surprising. That's fairly intuitive. Knowledge, skills, and resources, and the quality of leadership and leadership development. Positive effect, but not necessarily necessary. Those are good things to have, but you can get the job done with lower levels of these things. Necessary, but not sufficient, where community history and values, and when we talk about that, we're talking about a shared history within the community. Oop, my thing's giving me the warning. A shared history and a shared sense of values that promote whatever they're aiming to do. So in this case, improving community health and promoting access to recreational physical activity. And then mechanisms and structures for community dialogue. So necessary but not sufficient. So they have to have it, but just having that isn't enough. And then social relationships and networks. Again, it's necessary to have those things. The communities that were successful had those things, but that in and of itself wasn't sufficient. And what we found through our comparative analysis and also in our post hoc analysis of what communities did with failure was that reflexivity ended up being the key. So what is reflexivity if you're going, okay, well, you know, what do we do with that? Reflexivity in a community is their ability to look at what they did, learn something from it, and put what they learned into action. And it has to be all three of those things. It's not just, oh, look what we did. We succeeded or we failed, because anybody can do that, right? But that in and of itself isn't enough. And it's not, look at what we did and there's a lesson here. And the lesson is, don't do that again. Or the lesson is, we should really include more people. Or the lesson is, we should make sure we have community support before we jump out and start doing something, or whatever the lesson is. It really has to go that next step further to doing something with what they learned. And so what we found was in this, how does this work, that the determining factor of reflexivity is that as a community, not as individuals, not as organizations, but collectively, the key factor of success in communities being able to achieve some kind of change or to address a prioritized issue is the community's ability to learn, that culture of learning, to take a look at what did we do, did it succeed or fail, what can we learn from it, and what do we do differently next time that they take action on it. So the role of reflexivity, you know, looking at these communities as units of identity for people, units of practice in doing the things that they do, but also as units of solution in addressing these problems. And again, we're talking about community level of analysis. This isn't about the individuals involved. This is about the collective and how communities learn and how do they have those conversations. So having that mechanism for community dialogue and collective action, it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. They have to have the reflexivity built in to have those conversations and then to have action that follows. So what's the difference between communities that failed and communities that succeed after having failed? And that's what we found. Communities that had false starts, if they reflected on it, learned from it, and acted differently the next time, that's when they succeeded. And some of them, it took two or three iterations to get to success. But if they continued doing that, then they found success. So that culture of learning is important. And then it leads us to our question. Right, so we now have a little bit of an idea how it works, and the question then is, can it be cultivated? And that's really where we're working in communities now, is now that we know reflexivity is one of those key elements, can we cultivate reflexivity at the community level?
Thank you.